It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Welcome back to the show, friends. Today, I'm here with Tony Piva. Is that right?
Yes.
Did I say your name right? And I remember when you used to come to the studio back in the day, you would go by Anthony, but then I saw your handle on the internet is Tony. So I don't know.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was named Anthony, so it's always like the nickname Tony. So I go by both.
Yeah.
And now I actually have another nickname. My friend calls me Antosha, which is an excellent Antosha, which I like.
I love that. But first, I don't know if you know this, but your headphone, is that on the wrong? Your headphone looks flipped wrong on that side. I didn't know if you did that on purpose. How's that?
Okay.
Does that make more sense?
Yes.
Okay, so tell me again. And
Antosha.
Antosha. What does that mean?
So Antosha is like a Russian-like name. My friend from the taiga, I have this pen pal. She lives in Siberia, and so we talk a lot. And her great-grandfather, Alexei Gannon, he was a poet and famous writer in the Russian Revolution. And anyway, she just kind of nicknamed me that.
And she knows you're a writer?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I send her my poems. I send her my prose. So we talk a lot. Alexei Gannon, his poems are excellent. They're a huge inspiration to me. But So I have like all these nicknames, I guess, but it seems like most people call me Tony that I know for a long time. So it's kind of funny. Like it used to be kind of like there was the Anthony person and the Tony, but it's kind of fused now. I think I'm okay with it. Some people have a hard time with it, but the name Anthony, you always have, people just call you Tony, and you're like, okay.
My name's Christina, and I feel like people get thrown by them. As soon as you add another syllable, it gets that much more difficult, and so I'll get called Christine. Mm. Like, it's Christina, that last syllable, like, it gets you. Yeah. But, I mean, I've been called everything from Chrissy to Christy to Chris to Sissy. Like, my little brothers called me that when they were kids, and I hated it, but now it's just like, okay, I'm just Sissy sometimes. The whole gamut of names. And then, of course, there's your internet name, which is Xtina, or my yoga name is Xtina. But I was really excited and stoked when you reached out to me, and you're like, hey, I'd be up for coming on the podcast, because I haven't seen you in so long, and it's been really cool to see you on all the yoga forums online. Mm-hmm. But I don't know much about your yoga journey, and I'm really thrilled to have you come on and share with us.
Yeah. So, you know, speaking of nicknames, like recently, I've always thought of it because my last name's Piva, like Shiva. Mm. And the Shivananda, it was kind of where I started like 22 years ago. So recently I've been Pivananda. This is what I named myself or my yoga.
Pivananda Yoga.
Pivananda Yoga.
Oh, love it.
So
the name chooses you.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I started out like when my son was born, I was like, oh, I need to have something to ground me, to something to teach him. And so I went to the bookstore and I found, just looking and found this Shivananda journal or Shivananda manual. Excellent book, teaches you everything. And so just started teaching myself. Was really interested in the pranayama. It teaches you, although it said you needed a master, a guru, I just, you know, practiced, learned the mantras, learned the asanas, the postures. And the Shivananda has like the 12 basic postures they have. And then, of course, there's all kinds of extra, but the 12 basic postures, they're excellent. And I really was tuned to that for a long time.
Just reading the manual and doing this at home?
Just at home in the yard.
While you're preparing for your son's arrival.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then after he was born, then all this downtime, if you have children, you know, everything slows down, becomes quality of, you know, you can't do as many things. You know, the experiences become unique. There's less, but but it slows down. And so I had all this time during naps do yoga. And at the same time, I got involved in Tai Chi. I was always like, which one do I like better? You know, the Tai Chi master that I studied under, he was always like, well, you know, Tai Chi's better.
Who's your Tai Chi master?
Kevin Meehan in Jackson Hole.
I just had a guy on last week. The episode drops tomorrow. Well, in recording land. I don't know when this episode will come out, on Wednesday sometime. But his name's Nick Loffrey, and he was talking about, so if you listen to the last episode, he was talking about yoga and Tai Chi, which is better. And we basically decided, like, you get injured doing whatever, you go to yoga. But then you get injured in yoga, you go to Tai Chi.
Ah, yeah.
Uh-huh. But he says you can injure yourself in anything if you're not doing it properly, whether it's yoga or Tai Chi. You can still do something.
Yeah, you can, depending on the form, you know. Things can happen, but they're very similar. You have the chi, moving the chi, building the chi, moving the prana, building the prana. So it's really similar. But yeah, I studied under Kevin Meehan, and he's in Jackson Hole, and he's like an authentic healer. You know, he trains in Tibet. He goes over there every year or so often, teaches the Tai Chi, the Gung Fu, and then heals people.
Incredible.
With various ways, acupuncture. He would always tell me, I can heal you in one session. Now you might be sore, but.
I'm always pretty leery if anyone says they can like heal me. Like I can fix that, I can heal you. I'm like, what? Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, well, I mean.
So what does he mean by that?
Like I would go in there because of years of combat, like, combat and wrestling and training, my body was pretty beat up. And then, of course,
when you say combat, do you mean like
you know, live wrestling combat?
Oh, like wrestling.
Combative sport. You get beat up, your neck and your back.
Would you do like boxing, kickboxing?
Just wrestling. From when I was
wrestling.
Like wrestling. But yeah, from when I was five until I wrestled masters through 2017, and then I switched to jiu-jitsu because one of my old coaches said, oh, it's much easier on your body. But it's you know, it's different. It's like opposite. Wrestling, you stay off your back. Jiu-jitsu, you pull people and you fight from your back. So it's like an opposite but very similar in ways. So yeah, so I would go to Kevin and he would, you know, I'd have disc issues or whatever in my neck, and he would do acupuncture and all kinds of different methods that he developed on his own style of medicines, like homeopathic stuff. So for years, I trained under him, and he had one student that I also trained under, and we had really small classes, sometimes only one person, sometimes only me, but this was great. And there's a little healing arts studio, yoga studio, where Bob, he was the student under the master, under Kevin, and he would teach over in Driggs, kind of this mountain community around the Tetons. You had Jackson Hole, and then you have Driggs. And there were studios, just one studio, or two in Jackson, I think. But anyway, kind of a close-knit community.
So when where's the yoga happening?
So the yoga, so I'm going along and studying the manual, and then I start going, there's a studio, Nisha Zollinger had a studio in Jackson Hole, Akasha. So I found that place. She taught Anasara, studied under John Friend. And so I started going there, and she was excellent. The classes were so cool, like music, readings from books. And so in combination with the Shivananda and with Akasha, this studio. And then there was one other teacher, Dondi. She was Shivananda teacher, and she would teach in Driggs at the studio. I think it's Tajus now, or it was. And
so at what period of time is this? Like that you're living
this is
in
like,
Colorado and you're going through?
No, it's in Idaho. In the Tetons.
Gotcha.
And so this was, you know, 22 years ago up until...
How old were you 22 years ago?
22 years ago. So 22 years ago, I was 30.
Okay.
So I started, yeah, when I was 30.
Getting into it.
And it was really familiar to me. Yoga always seemed like I knew what it was. Like my mom had this old yoga book on her shelf. You know, I'd looked at it a million times. It was just warm-ups for wrestling. We did all this stuff.
Okay.
We had these great coaches in wrestling. We did this, they called it the Russian program. It was like tumbling and stretching. You know, like cartwheels around us, walk on your hands and stretching.
Can you still walk on your hands?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Fast. Like we do races.
Get out of town.
Oh, yeah. Hand walk races.
Do you teach a hand walk race class? Could I take that class? I don't think I have the prerequisites required, but I would try.
This would be fun, yeah. Yeah, it was always a thing. Walk clear around the wrestling room or race. But it's a little bit, with a handstand in yoga, it kind of fouls you up. Because if you take a step with your hands, you know, because you want to stay static in yoga.
And static just means still.
Still, to stay still, yeah, and extend, you know, it's just, but it's one of my favorite poses, yeah. But
when did you do your yoga teacher training?
I did the training like 3.5 years ago now.
Was that through?
Through Sage Yoga and Wellness in Boise.
Nice, yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. It was excellent, you know. I'd wanted to go to the Shivananda, to the Ganges River. They have a ashram. Or to Grass Valley in California, you know, but it was always like teacher training was a solid month. It's hard to carve out that much time. And so this was perfect. It was weekends. You had a long period of time, a year or two to finish it.
To really soak it in.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. They threw so much, so many books. They're like, buy these 10 books and read them. And so, yeah, and so... So, yeah, you know what it was, is the tree fort, the yoga fort was the big thing for me, which kind of where I got this inspiration from East Forest, from Krishna, you know, and, and from Tony G. They did a class there, oh, that was probably 5 years ago, 4 years ago at Tree Fort, and in the jump building, this room, there was probably, I don't know, 150 people in this class, and they created this sonic yoga class together. They had everyone om in 3 different tones, and then they looped that, and then Tony G taught this class.
Oh my gosh, so cool.
It was the best. So then I was like, I got to start teaching. I want to do that. I want to be.
Ah, yes.
So I went, found a Sheila Bringy hat and her partner, is it Trent Cucker? And then they did a sonic yoga workshop. So that was where I started. I was like, oh, I want to teach that. The classes were kind of, I would say now, they're like kind of yin yoga, restorative yoga nidra kind of a class.
All right.
Excellent classes. Make you feel awesome. You know, you feel this great energy, and you don't do a lot of what, I guess, the asana part, you know, not a lot of physical, more of a mental, more of meditation, more restorative, using gravity, using, yeah, to get into the asana, into the postures. But yeah, it was kind of strange, like at the time. So when I took the teacher training, this is right after I kind of retired from wrestling, 2017, I was having real problems with my back and having a really hard time standing up straight, walking, doing really anything. So
damn.
I'm like, well, I want to do this. So I'll take restorative, yoga nidra, and the yin. And so did what I could, and then I think through that, in combination of many things, was able to heal and come back. Where this year, this last winter, I had a huge winter skiing, the most days I have in a long time, and competing in jiu-jitsu, came back, won the Masters World Championship.
What?
Yes.
Get out of town. Where's your, what do you, they give you a belt, a medal?
They give you,
where
this,
is it?
They give you this huge giant medal. It's awesome. This is my first jiu-jitsu tournament in Las Vegas. It was perfect. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. There's tons of people there. All these famous jiu-jitsu practitioners and coaches and just really cool. But
do you feel like the yoga sort of classes helped you?
Yeah, this was like the beginning, you know, and having a home practice, which Nisha at Akasha, where my first studio I went to, she was always big on, you got to have your home practice. This is the most important, you know. You come in here for alignment every so often. And so, yeah, I had to work a lot. It was strange. You know, yoga is kind of, I guess, you almost think of it all forward bending. I couldn't do forward bending. Everything I had to do was back bends and different things. Because of the way my injury was with the discs. So, yeah, it was a huge thing.
So lots of acupuncture, too, as well?
Lots of acupuncture.
Where do you get acupuncture at?
At Hidden Mountain in Boise. These people are excellent. And a couple of different chiropractors. I actually found one. Main Solutions Chiropractor is what helped me a ton. They do like a whole program. They're, you know, their chiropractic is based on these original people who invented chiropractic. So it has like the, you know, the whole body element, nutrition and hydration and exercise and sleep and chiropractic. So a combination of many things. And I just feel like, you know, the powers that created the body, the powers that heal the body, this was huge, this mindset. You know, my family had told me that, but then it was reiterated, you know, through a number of different sources and people that helped me heal.
Is your family holistic and into natural health?
Some of them are. And so it was my cousin, yeah, Pete, he told me. It was the first time I'd really heard that. That was probably, you know, it was years ago, like 5 years ago, when I was having real problems with my back. And he's like, well, your body can heal itself. And I'm like,
isn't there a book about back pain? God, my buddy Marcus was telling me about this book called, it's going to drive me crazy. I'm going to look it up and I'll put it in the show notes because he told me he struggled deeply with back pain. He's a musician and he travels a lot. And so when he travels a lot, he's sitting in a van for 10 hours and then he's going to the next gig. And he said his back would just kill him and he would be getting these like steroid shots. And he reads this book. I think I have this book. I can't believe it's on the tip of my tongue, but it basically says it's all emotional pain. And you have to heal your emotional pain and heal your trauma because it's all, the body keeps the score, right? Like that book says.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he said he read that book, changed his life.
Yeah, I believe that. That's a good point. You know, there's another book. Is it The Tiger Within? The Tiger Wakes Up. It's about this trauma, the body holding the trauma. So yin yoga was excellent. Because you're getting into the fascia and you're releasing this trauma that you hold on to. It's emotional. Probably. It was a big part. And yeah, so through yoga, yeah, this is an excellent way to heal. So, you know, I'm all about what I'm teaching now. My classes have been, I call it a slow flow hatha Shivananda class. So I try to incorporate the 12 basic postures of Shivananda.
Which are?
Oh, so they're headstand, shoulder stand, fish, plow, crow, triangle.
That's six.
Hands to feet. You have Lord of the Fishes, twisting. You have
two more left.
Is it Paschimottanasana, forward bend, seated forward bend, and locust.
Beautiful.
Which is excellent. You can do, you know, there's variations of locust, but I really like the Shivananda where your hands are under your hips. And when you're good at your core, you come, both legs come up. yes. kind of come over your head.
I see that in Bikram a lot. Where you're...
Oh, yeah. Bikram does it. The hand positioning's different.
Oh, okay.
You clasp hands and thumbs down.
Oh, I like that.
Bikram, I think, crosses the pinkies and palms are flat. So uh-huh. this is a slight difference, but...
Yeah. Can you do that posture mm-hmm. with the feet up over your head?
Not over the head. I'm not super flexible in the back. I can get my feet up pretty high. It's excellent for your elbows. So it's an excellent when I do. So I was teaching or have been teaching at jiu-jitsu, yoga for jiu-jitsu. So I oh. always do this one because your elbows get from arm bars in different positions, these mm-hmm. joint locks. So this one's awesome because you can actually just prepping the pose, you're laying on your elbows. It can be painful if your elbows are, you know, mm-hmm. have been tweaked. But yeah. It's an excellent pose. It's difficult. But like I said, you can do variations. You know, sometimes you can just do like a Superman or one leg and the other leg. But
where do you teach yoga at?
Right now, I'm teaching at Crunch Fitness.
Where is that?
There's studios all over Boise. There's one on State Street. There's Eagle. There's Meridian.
Do you teach at all of them?
I am right now.
So you drive all around to all the different crunches?
I actually ride my mountain bike.
Okay.
Cool. I ride an e-mountain bike. I don't have a car.
Great.
Yeah. So, yeah, I ride around to them.
What's your schedule look like?
It's super busy. Actually, we just changed. I'm actually subbing for everyone because we had this problem last quarter. We go by quarters. People need time off, and there's no subs. So I'm like, I'll just be the sub. The summer quarter, so I'm getting actually more work between the four studios.
As a sub than being a regular. Amazing.
And I feel like I access more people in a way, which is what I really want to do. I just started my own, you know, yoga in the park.
I just saw that.
River Point in Garden City, right behind the library. It's an excellent little park right by the river and the trees, right in the cottonwoods. There's a little lawn there, and so there's like two spaces. There's actually a number of spaces, depending on the class size. There's like these nice rocks by the river you could do little classes. There's a little patio by the library. So I'm doing that series probably through the summer, the nice weather.
What's your park schedule, like daytime style?
It's going to be right now 1:30 on Thursdays. It's kind of what I'm shooting for. It was kind of for my... jiu-jitsu friends. I like catered it to them. It's right by the studio, by the jiu-jitsu studio. So, but it's for anyone. And it's nice to be outside doing yoga. But, you know, the first day I did it, we've been having this cool spring. And
yeah.
So it's cold. I'm like, well, we're doing yin because it needs to be cool for yin. So it was like a perfect change up in my class plan. But,
what surprised you, like, about being a teacher instead of a student when you switched over to teaching yoga? It was, like, a big surprise you got.
Well, sometimes, you know, giving direction was, like, when I was there learning, I was always like, well, I want to do as much as I can that the teacher is saying. Sometimes I feel like people, especially with breathing, they have a hard time with breathing, which I always do in the beginning, this pranayama. Get the breath going, warm up the lungs, warm up the diaphragm, you know, cleanse the lungs. People are shy to breathe loudly, yeah. Like Ujjayi breath. Or,
yeah.
Yeah. It's.
We were watching Obi-Wan last night on Disney Plus, and it, like, Darth Vader shows up, and my boyfriend looks at me, and he's like, hey, that's yoga breath. That's yoga breath. He'd be a good yoga, mm-hmm. Darth Vader would be a good yoga teacher. And I'm like, we know that's called Darth Vader breath. We always say that when we're trying to teach it. It's like Darth Vader, just breathe.
Oh, that's a good cue. I have to remember that. I like that.
Ocean wave breath, or think about Darth Vader.
Yeah. But it's so powerful. Like, imagine, you know, a whole hour of breathing these equal breaths as you move. This is difficult. This is the real work, like energizing, I feel like. It's really powerful.
What do you want students to come away with, like, after they leave your class? What's the takeaway you'd love for them to have?
Well, what my focus has been since this winter, I started really following the Sadhguru, and that they don't, it's not this contortion and these poses, these difficult, being really flexible, but being in your own body and connecting to the cosmos. So in a way, they feel comfortable with where they're at and their fitness and their body and going through the asanas and a higher connection in this union, like this true yoga. That's what I feel like. So I try to keep it real simple and you know, really reiterate that, you know, and a home practice. This is where I started. So, you know, it doesn't have to be, it can be 5 minutes, it can be 20 minutes. So it's the quality of the time. And I love it. I always thought you had to know the 100 poses to be the guru. Well, Sadhguru is like, it's only one pose. You only need one pose. You can do it 2 or 3 hours. This is a guru. This is what he says. And so I always tell them that, which is surprising. It was surprising to me, and I think people are surprised by that. And then the other point that I really try to make is the drishti point, getting into higher levels in the 8 limbs of yoga, you know, moving on to this inward introspection and the dharana and dhyana. I feel like I can introduce it, even though people might just be there. They might be at the very beginning, at the yamas and yamas, but you know,
what's dhyana and dhyana?
So this is, as you come in, it's this is meditation. So you're coming into this very going inward, and then one pointed focus.
Yes.
And so then drishti, this is where your eyes go. This is amazing in yoga, where your eyes go. This is where your prana goes. So your life force. So if it's scattered,
right,
then your prana, your life force is going to be scattered. So like a flashlight shining onto a point is how I describe it now. So you move, breathe, and then find your drishti and draw inward, drawing up this prana. So, but I it's a stretch sometimes. I always say, if you want more, it, you know, it's always levels.
Pun intended. It's a stretch.
I mean, because it's hard. Like, I think, okay, just moving in the asana and then breathing. Okay, that's more. That's, wow, that's hard. That's two things.
Uh-huh.
Now, maybe you're going to get this drishti with your eyes. And then maybe you're going to focus. What are you going to focus on? You're going to focus on a chakra point, a mantra, a prayer, whatever it is. That's where I like to be, fusing those things.
Do you have like a favorite mantra right now?
Oh, yeah. The loving awareness is my, the Ram Dass. He's my other, you know, real big inspiration has always been the Be Here Now book. I've had that, I don't know, I've had that book forever, 20 years.
I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
So, yeah, recently, so I'm teaching this class and I like to do the 8-angle pose. Sometimes if people want hip openers and Astravakasana. So
say that again.
It's Astravakasana. I think this is right.
That sounds like angle. It sounds like vodka or a swear word. 8-angle pose.
The 8-angle. So
Googling that right now.
You're in, if you can do the crow, it's not, and you have flexible hips. So you start, so I do a whole series. I will cater it to just build up to this pose as the pinnacle pose. And so I get there, we do all this work, and then I'm in the pose and I look and everyone's just looking. One guy was doing it and the one woman, she's like,
I love it when you get the weird looks on people's faces and they're just shaking their head at you.
And so she says, you want me to take a picture? Is that what I'm supposed to do, is take a picture? I'm like, no, you're supposed to do the pose. This is for you.
Oh, my gosh. That's hysterical.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Well, maybe next time.
Oh, that's so funny. I've taken a yoga class where at the end of class, the teacher said, now, if you would like me to take a photo of you, please stay after class and I can take your picture. And I thought that was kind of neat. But I never had a student ask me if I wanted them to take a picture of me in a pose.
Yeah. And I've had other interesting classes. When I first started teaching and introducing this drishti, I always use music. That's one of my favorite parts of the class, is choosing the music and having it. And these classes where you have one student sometimes are difficult. It's funny how two people, it's way different energy. One person, it's hard. But so the student, so I'm explaining drishti and I'm giving cues throughout. And then at the end of the class, he says, well, how am I supposed to, this one-pointed focus when there's music, you know? And I was like, well, I didn't really have an answer necessarily that day, but that was kind of a hard question. I'm like, you know, I have the music there for inspiration, but then it was kind of a good point in a way, because I guess if you were going to really go inward, you would block that out. So this is like blocking out all of this everyday
distraction
life.
Distraction and noise. Yeah. That's so, a good question. I never thought about it like that. Because I feel like if a yoga class is good, and if the yoga class, and by good, I mean it's creating a space where it's using things like cues and music and breath, and that it kind of, you don't notice the music, right? When you walk out of that class, you couldn't tell me what the song was, but you knew it was a good flow. Whereas if you do notice the music, then it's like, is it distracting from the thing? So, Or if it's a bad song, then you're like, oh my God, the song needs to end.
Yeah, that can happen, yeah. I always think it's an inspiration, especially when I take classes, yeah, the music. Because I'm always trying to do all these parts.
Well, sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
That's all right.
I was going to say we need to wrap it up. Is there any last messages or things you'd like to plug, how people can connect with you?
Well, yeah, if you want to find my Yoga in the Park series, yeah, Tony Piva on Facebook. And I'm also on Instagram, Tony Piva Collective. And I'm also doing Tai Chi in the Park. So you can find that on Facebook,
too. Oh, cool. I'd love to jump in on that.
Yeah, it'll be Wednesdays. I'm like Wednesday, Thursdays, River Point Park in Garden City. It's excellent.
Awesome.
So come out and see me.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been
Welcome.
So nice to
Welcome.
Reconnect with you. It's been a while. I'm glad that we both came out of the pandemic. Yeah. And the yoga in Boise has just been exploding. So awesome. I'm glad you're a part of it.
Thank you.
Cool. All right. Bye, guys. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Please rate and review us. It's a great way to help others find the community. If you found this podcast interesting or valuable, please share it with a friend. Also, if you are interested in sponsoring or showing support, you can contact me via email. It's xtinayoga@gmail.com. Otherwise, please follow on Instagram, overheard@.yoga.